precious. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that we wouldn't take anything away from you or your glory or your power or your omnipotence or your grace by thinking that we have something to offer you, some ability, some goodness of our own. We have nothing, but we have you and we have everything, Father. So our prayer tonight is you be glorified, you be exalted, you be lifted up in every heart and soul here, that you'd be truly magnified and just enlarged in our hearts in love and adoration and reverence and submission. So, Father, we're here saying, take your place. If we look at ourselves, it's instant discouragement and doubt and fear. If we looked at you, it's praise and worship and adoration, thanksgiving. And that's what we're here for, Lord, for you to take your place now. Now we've had things of the world pulling us in every direction, but we have you pulling us towards you, and that's all we need. So we come to offer ourselves to you. We're here, Lord. Oh, Father, we are here. Help us to decrease that you might increase now. Take your place as we come to meet with you under your blood. We have confidence that you will meet us here, Father. We ask these things now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good to see you all. I always miss you and don't get to see you every week. Everybody good? Opie is back there all by herself. Nice to have you back. So she's here without her family, but she's got a family, so everybody check in on her and see if she needs anything. All is well? In Jesus. What's on my heart is these four words, the importance of now. And I can't express it deeply enough of what I'm feeling is in this age and in this time, where you have so many things pulling at you. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, I said, I bet you got 1,000 things pulling you in every different direction. How many things do you have you pulling towards him? One, and that's all you need. So we find in him, and we can all say to him when we experience him, and this isn't just a churchy thing, it's a real thing. Lord, you're enough. And we truly find when that's all we have, he is enough. But a lot of times it's him working in our lives to a place where finally we get to realize that in truth and honesty. Because as long as there are an ounce of your own confidence in self and your will and your strength and your faith and your anything, we're still lacking that. So don't be surprised when he takes us to that place where we must surrender all, like we just said. So the importance of now, and it's him doing what he has to do in us now, because if he does not do what he has called us to do in us now, and we are not listening, and we are not submissive, and we're lacking in revelation, we are going to be sorely disappointed. Because you just look at that awesome question, that was given to him in one service that we now call Conduct, Order, and Doctrine. Please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. That's shocking. So then he goes from there. That was, I believe those were preached in 1964. And then finally at the end, he expounds on that even more in the messages, the rapture and things that are to be. But here he says, now, how is this bride going to be translated? Well, there's a word in you. Okay, what word? Lots of people have lots of words. And you can say, well, it's more than the Bible. It's more than the message books. It's the revelation of himself that he gives to you that is life. So when Brother Branham made the comment so many times, I might not know the word, but I know the author real well. He did, and because he did know the author real well, he knew this real well in the life and light that it was. So, and that's what we need, not according to our own thinking or our own scholarship, our own studiousness that we might have. Nothing that means anything without him opening it to us. So here we are in this place, living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. Well, a lot of people said words quit proceeding out of his mouth when the Bible was written, and we say, no, he's still speaking.
Amen.
This same word, and it's this light of this life that we are living on. But that word that we have received now, and that word that is in us, now a body is being formed around that word. So that's what has been astounding to me, that there's something going on in another dimension that you don't realize, that you don't see, but it's very real, and it's more real than this, something that he is doing. And if it is not doing that, some people are going to spend their whole life waiting for that day in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, okay? And they won't have anything there, okay? Now, the whole thing is this scriptural, is the question. It's totally scriptural. And we know that this is real. It's in our heart real, and it's here given to us by revelation that's real. So I'm going to, two scriptures here. I want to get into things that are to be. That's what I've started. Okay, then I think, okay, last time I was here a few weeks ago. So there's two scriptures, and we went into 2 Peter chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 3, saying that is the epikinosko. It's there's something here that we must know, and we must know him, and we must know him really, and we must know him by revelation, and we must know him by experience in that revelation. Without that, we are not going to be there. We are fooling ourselves. So these things, the time that we spend now here on earth is probably the most critical time since the world began for a people to be transformed, to come to that image. So again, two scriptures. Number one, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's use this for our text. I'm going to do a couple more, try to get through these things because we have communion tonight. Hebrews 12, verse 22. This is the church. This is our calling. This is what we are called to by the Spirit of God, out of denominationalism, out of creeds, out of dogmas, to hear him personally in a spiritual place, not in a physical place, though it might happen in a physical place, but you must hear him spiritually yourself, no matter where you go, no matter what you claim to believe. Here we are. We are come. and to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. This is not a physical place. This is absolutely spiritual. This is a place of the calling that the Holy Spirit draws his elect to hear him, to listen to him, to follow him, to hear what he has to say to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, not on somebody's book, not in somebody's church ledger. To God, the judge of all, and the spirits, here we go, of just men made completely. They have become channels of the Word of God and channels of the Holy Spirit. My mind, my heart, my conscience, my memory, my affections, all of those things. And what is going on in there? What's going on in my spirit? To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel's. What is that blood speaking? The blood is speaking from heaven. What is speaking from heaven? The Holy Spirit, how does he speak from heaven? Through his vessel that he chooses of human lips. But where does that voice come from? It's not William Branham. It's not the man. It's the person, it is the Holy Spirit using the man. So here, see that refuse not him that speaketh. Now that's here. We have to hear him. Okay? There's a word inside of you, and that word inside of you, okay? There's a body being formed around that. There is a rapture process happening right now. Right here, tonight. Tomorrow, when you're in your bedroom, when you're on your bed, when you're on your knees, when you're with the Lord in your car, that is happening. It's a reality. Yes. It's a truth. So how does that word come? By we're hearing him that speaks. For if they escape not him that refused, that him that spake on earth, how much more will we not escape if we turn away him that speaks from heaven? He has spoken in this last day from heaven through his servant. He is speaking from heaven into your hearts, taking this word that has been brought. He's still speaking that to you. Therefore, you're part of that rapture. Thank you. You may be seated. There's a word body being built around the word that is inside of you now. That's the translation. That's the mystery of the translation. Again, I've looked at these things. I've waited 25, 30 years for the answer. This mystery of the rapture and things that are to be. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. Things that are to be has been probably one of the most mysterious things. And I said, in your time, you will reveal it to me. And finally, it happened when this opened in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's absolutely scriptural. It's perfect word. The word that we're feeding on in the Son of Man ministry is that voice from heaven that the world has refused to hear, that they've refused to listen to. So there's nothing, okay, but judgment coming for them. But those who have ears to hear and those who have eyes to see, God in his manifestation, God is speaking, that he is still speaking from heaven. And it is this perfectly. It's just this, they couldn't see it without him coming in this day and say, here, let me see what there's in there. I never saw that. Well, you couldn't see it. You couldn't see it through your studying. You couldn't see it through your seminary studying. You couldn't see it through your being smart. You couldn't see it through anything. It takes the Holy Spirit and divine revelation. Now that he opens your heart and he says, there's a voice. You better listen to it. Why? Who was that? It was the Holy Spirit drawing you to him so he could speak to you so a body could be formed and now in that dimension. Do you understand the importance of now? Not waiting for the, okay, to be a part of those that they're going to be terribly disappointed. So 2 Corinthians 5, here it is. Here is this scripture. Here it is perfect. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building. That word, as we know, is a verb. It's not a noun. It's something that he's doing. It's something that he's building. It's something that is going on, and it's going on present tense. And he is building your body in another dimension. That's this whole message. Amen. Is it scriptural? Can the world see it? You're crazy. You're nuts. But to us, God has opened it up in the word, and we say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Your word is alive. Your word is real. Your word is active. Your word is doing something. And it's working in me, and it's working in you. That's why we have hope. We have a building of God. We have something that he's doing, a house. What kind of a house? Not made with hands. Doesn't have anything to do with any pastor then, does it? Doesn't have anything to do with any church, does it? It's you and God, period. I can't stress that enough. It's not you in a church. It's not you in a group. It's not you and anything. It's you and him, period. And that is it. And there is nothing else. Okay. Not made with hands. And that is eternal because it's word, and the word is eternal. Now, here we are. And here's her condition right now. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. I need that body. I need that house. I need it here. I need it now. I'm so groaning to get into that. And we can feel that pull. Okay? To be clothed on with our house, which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found what? Naked. Okay, do you remember a few weeks ago? We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Not verse 4, later on. It says there was no place found for them. Those people that were under judgment. You have a place. You have a body. You have something in another dimension. All you have to do is leave this body and go to that one. And it's already there. That's what he said. He's already building it. The rapture is going on now. It's by revelation. It's not something you have to wait for. It's not going to be like the Pentecostals and the whole world thought. It's Brother Branham had to bring a strong correction. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle groan. We're groaning. Being burdened. We're groaning and burdened. I don't like this body. I hate my body. I'm serious. I am sick of it. I'm tired of it. I hate the pull of it. I hate everything about this. I'm groaning for that new one when all you'll feel is him, all him, okay? Nothing pulling you to this realm, everything pulling you to him. Okay, being clothed upon, we shall be, that being clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Life. You will be swallowed up of the whole life of God. Think of that. The whole life of God swallowing you up into himself in this process that you are in now in the spiritual realm. Are you please, please? Something is going on in another dimension right now, and God is taking that body that you're going to be changed into in a twinkling of an eye, but it's happening now. Now, verse 5 is critical. Now he that hath wrought for us, the selfsame thing, okay? He that is working in us or made us fit for this thing is God. He is the one doing the work of this now. This is this message. This is this message perfectly. This is what it is. So now, body, soul, okay, are you with me? There's a body being formed around a word that you have heard spoken from heaven. You with me? All right. Now go back to chapter 4. Brother Branham says cell upon cell, cell upon cell. Just like a baby being formed in the womb of a mother, okay? If you go to verse 16 of chapter 4, go to 15. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many. All things are for your sakes. This message is for your sakes. The Spirit of God coming is for your sake. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for your sake. Right? Okay, that through the thanksgiving of many, I hope that's there in our hearts, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though with the outward man is perishing. It sure is. The inward man, see that word renew? Look it up in the Greek. New and different. New and different. Day by day, it's new and different. Every day, it's cell upon cell. Every day, it's exactly what our prophet preached. Listen, brothers and sisters, I have more confidence. I've always had confidence. What are you listening to? What are you feeding on? You are feeding on the voice from heaven that speaks to us, that has now inside of you, and now a body is being formed around that word that you have received in your heart, because it's perfect word. It's a word that they cannot see and do not see because they have not seen the source. They have their own. And one day, they will be sorely disappointed. Now, now, okay. Three little things here, and then we're going to go on to my notes. Page 18, things that are to be. There's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. That has to be happening now. There has to be something pulling you out of all the things of the world and all of the demands of the world and all of the corruption of the flesh and everything around it. There's still something in your soul that calls you to him. Okay, there's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. You know the rest of that paragraph? But the end of the very end is, there's the house that the Father's gone to prepare. Okay? Now you come from mortal beings to eternal beings when the Word of God hits your soul. Now I'm going to just, I want a couple things. There's something calling. There's something going on now. There's a building going on now. Page 34, paragraph 116. Now, he says, we're at the evening time. The earthly body is now ready to be dissolved. Please listen to these words. We're preparing to enter the heavenly. Do you hear what he said? Now, you each have to ask you the question, am I? Is it? Is this going on? Am I part of that rapture? Do you understand? You can't sit on your can, excuse the expression, and wait and say, oh, one day, like the rest of the world, if something is not going on now, if this is not going on, if this preparation is not going on, how can I say it over and over? You're going to be extremely disappointed. It's the Spirit now. It's the Spirit, what he's doing now. It's what he's doing now in another dimension. Are you listening to that voice from heaven? Are you taking it into your soul? Now, let me read this again. Now we're at the evening time. The earthly body is now ready to be dissolved, and we're preparing to enter into that heavenly one. That's what this whole message is about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in action, that the world cannot see, but you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. Just three little thoughts to get our point. The importance of now. Page 38, paragraph 138. Look into your looking glass tonight and see. Which way am I headed? Here's a question. Listen, please. Is Jesus preparing a place for me? A body? That's a question. Can I read it again? Look into your looking glass tonight and see, which way am I headed? Is Jesus preparing a place for me? Is he preparing that body? The mystery of the translation of the bride. Okay? Now, along with this, Brother Branham said concerning Abraham and Sarah, what was the mystery concerning them and the promised son? What was the mystery concerning Abraham and Sarah? They had to be young. They had to be changed. Right? Why? Why? They couldn't receive the promised son in the bodies they were in. Brother Russ, doesn't that throw everything out of your old conceptions of they that are alive and remain? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Brother Branham, in that message, COD, please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. He says, we cannot receive the promised son in these bodies. We have to be changed first. Do you see what I'm saying? Should I read it one more time? Page 38. Look into the looking glass, brothers and sisters, and see. Which way am I headed? Is Jesus preparing a place for me, a body? That body is perfect. That body walks orderly. Okay? It's a son or daughter of God before God, and we're in birth. Listen to me. Listen to him. We're in birth pains here to be born there. And if I want to be part of the rapture, Russ, that has to happen now. It's this that we couldn't see before, and they looked at everything wrong. But he is here now to work this in you so that we can have this fulfilled in us. Think of that. Can I say it one more time? The importance of now. Okay. I'll try to get. In the last few months, we've been looking at the call of the Holy Spirit to flee from the call of the realms of the carnal world and respond to the call of God to abide in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Specifically referencing the scriptures in Hebrews 3 and 1 Peter 1 last time. And messages like the third Exodus, the rapture, things that are to be. mystery, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. We looked at the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. There's a voice. We've received that voice. It's come into our hearts. There's a word from heaven. And he's building a body around that word that is from heaven. Him, his voice. And we looked at the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ and the result of that in the believer, because it's working out the stature of a finished man, the stature of a perfect man. This is the time and the season for the working of gnosko, experiential knowledge, not head knowledge. Okay? You must experience Jesus Christ as he has revealed himself. You must experience him. You must have a relationship with him. The whole world, all of Christianity, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Yes, I love Jesus. Let's go have a drink. Please pray for me. I'm headed down to Texas, and I got a stepbrother and stepsister, and they go to, my stepbrother just is the best friends with his pastor when they go to the bar on the golf course together. Let's go have a cocktail. Oh, yes. It hurts. How can you smile when you're hurting? You ever, you know? We're all around that, aren't we? What we see, brothers and sisters, huh? Mine. Well, the messages of the Holy Spirit brought to us through the last day revelation of Jesus Christ are significant, every one of them, all of them. And they each have their divine purpose, but there's something in those 1965 messages, starting with the shame that he was in Jeffersonville, but after he left Jeffersonville and he's on the road, it seems like there was something in his heart. It was just like something. The Spirit said he knew he was close to his deathbed. If you listen to that testimony of Hickerson, thank you. He talks to Brother Branham, says, you know, I've got to tell you this. I won't be here long. I'm leaving for good. He knew other things that he said. So he knew, and when he was on the road leaving, he knew he wouldn't be back in Jeffersonville. He knew he was on his way home. And it's like the Holy Spirit, and I get this picture. Here's a man that's on his deathbed, and here his family is surrounding him, saying their last goodbyes. But they've all been seeking a treasure. And he knows where to find that treasure. But they've never known before. And right before he's on his deathbed and saying, I got to tell you where this treasure is. And when I look at these messages and I see things that are to be rapture, leadership, God's chosen place of worship, and only provided place of worship. I look at those messages and I say, oh, Lord, I have felt my whole walk in this message that if only a person had access to those messages from those times to the end, they'd go in the rapture. There's so much in there. There's so much revelation. There's so much given out. It's finally, I have to give this all out to you because this is the light that's going to take you to that pearl of great price. And you will find that treasure if you just listen to these careful instructions guiding you right to that place. So that's exactly how I think. So approaching these things, I got two scriptures in mind. Again, you don't have to stand up, but John 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Is that true?
Amen.
For he will not speak out of himself as a source, but what he hears, that he will speak. That's a mystery in itself. And what's the next part? He will show you things to come. This is rapture, and this is things that are to be. These are these messages. This is leadership that they didn't understand. They couldn't understand what he was saying. Okay, rapture, they couldn't understand what he was saying, right? God's only provided a place of worship. They couldn't understand that. They didn't understand any of those messages. Maybe it wasn't time, but now it is, and it's time for us. So here we are. He, the Spirit of truth, came, and he's guiding us into all truth, but he's also in this message is showing us things to come. Things that are to be the rapture. Here's what lies ahead of you. And you didn't know it before, and you couldn't know it before, but now the Spirit is letting me say this to you because he couldn't say it before that time. But now you're hearing a voice absolutely vindicated and proven to be from heaven. Hebrews 12 fulfilled. Next one. If you turn with me to Isaiah 28, familiar scriptures. Nothing new in these. Uh, Okay. If John 16:13 was the what the Holy Spirit was given to the bride, this is the how he gives it. And this is why so many people, we want to sit down, we want to open a text, a scripture, we want to hear these words. If you just go down this road and turn the corner to the right and go in this door, there will be a counter on the left and you will find it, and just walk up to the counter and ask for this and they'll have it there for you, and walk out and go outside and you'll be raptured up. That's not how God ever has worked or does work, but this is how he does, okay? Isaiah 28, so we're going to start with verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory for a diadem of beauty to the residue of the people. That's the bride. That's you. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle up to the gate. There's you. That's where you're at. Greatest battle ever fought. He's your strength. He's going to pull you through. You don't have anything to worry about. Brothers and sisters, you hearing this tonight, if you are looking at yourself, you'll go into absolute depression and say, I have too many failures, I have too many weaknesses, I got too much problems, this cannot happen. But if you look to the promise of God and refuse to look at yourself, you say, thank you, Lord. You're doing the impossible. You're doing what could never be done by anybody else or anything else, but you're doing it because it's your word and it has nothing to do with my ability or my goodness or my righteousness. It's your election. So don't let the devil pull that on you tonight. Verse 7. But they also have erred through wine. Wine is supposed to be stimulation of revelation, but they have a different wine. That wine is noted in Matthew 24:49. Well, the Lord hasn't come. This is Hebrews chapter 3. If we keep our confidence and rejoicing firm to the phone, he's here. He's with me. He's with me. That's all I need. All I need to know is you're here, and if you're here, you're with me, you're going to do it, not me. If you don't think he's there, it all goes on your shoulders, and you think you got to do it. True or not true? Think on these things, brothers, sisters, because this is exactly where we're at. Now, Matthew 24, he's delayed his coming. And he says they went out and got drunk with the drunken. Who's the drunken? The denominationals. Revelation 17, chapter 17, verse 2. They're drunk with the blood of the saints. They're drunk. They've drunk the wine of fornication. This is what he's talking about here, that kind of wine, this kind of wine. They have erred through their wine and through their strong drink are out of the way. Yeah, they're not drinking the right kind of wine, are they? The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink and they're swallowed up of wine. There it is, Matthew 24, Revelation 17. And they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in what? They're not seeing correctly. Isn't that the whole message of the rapture? They stumble in what? All tables are full of what is vomit? Regurgitated food. What is they living on? Regurgitated food. They don't. Why? Because there's a voice speaking from heaven and they can't hear that. Huh? See that you refuse not him that speaks from heaven. Because the word that he gives, a body will build around that in another dimension for you right now, and you'll have it prepared. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you'll be changed to receive the promised son. Shall we look into the looking glass? Is he preparing that body for you now, tonight? Yesterday, last week, next month. And there is no place clean. Verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And actually, I love this. If you look into the Hebrew in this next phrase, whom shall he make understand doctrine? Do you know what the Hebrew really is there? Who will he expound a message? Who will he expound a message to? Isn't that us? Isn't this where we need to be? Walking in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit? Huh? Hey, don't put this off. Don't disregard this. You go back and study this. You can hang me out on a limb all you want to, but not this word. And these are from heaven, a voice from heaven to us. Who will he expound a message? Well, number one, look what he says. Them that are weaned from milk, not babies. Them that are drawn from the breast, nope, it's time to grow up. And how does he preach? Exactly how Brother Branham preached, because it wasn't Brother Branham. It was the Spirit of God in him. How did Brother Branham bring the message to us? Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. What was it? Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Have you ever listened to the message Serpentine? Have you ever listened to the message Godhead and you wonder, he hasn't preached about Serpentine? Have you ever listened to the message Godhead and you say, he didn't preach about Godhead? Chris? True or not true? Because he was doing it exactly the way he intended to do it. A word here, a word there. And you think, you will look at that in your logical brain, Chris, and say, forget this. But the Spirit of God and the soul inside of you will say, hey, catch this. Hey, catch that. Hey, here's the word there. And pretty soon the Spirit starts bringing it together. And this is exactly what the Spirit of God has done in this last day. Perfect word in the perfect way. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Right? 10, read it out loud with me in 11, would you? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, with stammering lips. Yeah, doesn't that describe it very? Yeah, well, we'll start there again. I'm sorry. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, let's go on, this is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing they would not hear. For the word of the Lord was upon them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Why? This is foolishness. Have you ever listened to Brother Branham's message or that? He didn't even talk about it. The Holy Spirit brought it out exactly the way he wanted it. Line upon line, here a little, that they might go out and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken, and that's exactly what's happened. True or not true? There you go. Exactly what's gone on in this last day. Only those who have ears to hear and eyes to see will hear and do hear. Now, what we just read in these scriptures, here's a perfect example of it. The rapture message. And I'm just going to read you a few things. What time did we start? What time did I start? 45 minutes. Okay, I think I can finish. We'll get to communion. Okay, this is a perfect example of John 16:13, and this is a perfect example of Isaiah 28, given by the Holy Spirit, a voice from heaven through the vessel of his choice, through one completely taken over by the Spirit of God. Okay? I listened to those messages. Started when I was listening to the 1955. I said, here is a man totally taken over by God. And then a voice kept coming to me, yes, and there's more. The importance of now. Yes. Here's a voice from heaven speaking exactly what the Spirit wanted said and exactly how he wanted it said. This has been ignored and assessed as insignificant and stuff from an uneducated Kentucky hillbilly. We don't like the sound of his voice. We don't like his name. We don't like him yelling all the time. Brother Branham's opening comments while preaching the message of the rapture, okay? Point number one, John 16:13, Isaiah 28. For us to be in the rapture, it is time for us to grow up, to mature. The Holy Spirit in this message, the rapture, is bringing correction to the people that they never received. Okay? What you thought you knew about the rapture was both childish and immature. Now, how do you think theologians would take that? Paragraph 11. When I was a little boy, people used to come out to listen because I was a boy preacher, just a young fellow, a chap, but they'd say, well, Billy Branham, you know, just a kid, never went through school, no education. And they'd come hear my broken words, my Kentucky English, and so my hits and hates and totes and carries. Like in one of the meetings here not long ago, they said, we'll stand up and sing the national anthem. Oh, don't disregard this, brothers and sisters. And I got up and I sang, oh, for my old Kentucky home far away. That was the only nation I knowed about, so that was my national anthem as far as I was concerned. What is he preaching on? The rapture. What did he just say? In my childish view of things, I saw this little much of the world, and I thought that was it. So this had to be what I saw was obviously it. That's a rapture. Are you with me? So now, paragraph 13, after you get older, though, you come in, you've got to have something more than that. What is he preaching on? Is this a voice from heaven trying to get the attention of the people? What did they think? Oh, Billy Branham, just a hillbilly guy. My old Kentucky home, oh, honestly, we know more about that. We've got to have something more than that, where Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child and I thought as a child, you act as a child, but listen to me. As you grow older, you begin from making the first couple steps and toddle and fall and get up again. Then after a while, listen, this is his words. Now hear the Spirit from heaven. You get so you can walk a straight line right down that highway to glory. The importance of now, not looking forward to what will be in some magical day in the now. You have to have something more than what you thought. It's time to grow up. You can't think as a child anymore. You got to walk a straight line, and that's what we have to do. Okay? As soldiers of the cross. Now is time to walk a straight line right down that highway to glory. So you put this, is chapter one of rapture. This is chapter two of rapture. And we get the story with these two. Look in the looking glass tonight. Is he preparing you a body in another dimension now? Because that is the mystery of the your translation out of here. Now, this is me. The Holy Spirit of truth is doing just that. He is here to guide you, to show you how to walk that straight line right down the highway to glory. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a clue. I do believe that we're living in the closing scenes of the history of this world. I truly believe that the coming of the Lord is closer perhaps than we think. That was point number one. To be in this rapture, you have to grow up. You have to mature. You have to see things differently. Number two, listen, Pentecostals, he's saying. That's who he's speaking to. It's time to turn corners. Okay. When you turn corners, what are you doing? You're driving down Excelsior Boulevard and you turn left on Shady Oak Road. Linnell, what did you just do? Go from going what direction you're going? You're changing directions. I have to go differently than I was going before. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't hear it, and they didn't receive it. And they never went a different direction. That's his number two point. And then we turn right back in the scriptures to see. Now listen, it may seem foreign to us. You hear that? It may seem foreign to us. But we turn right back into the scriptures. Oh, talk about voice him that speaks from heaven. Without even knowing where to look. And the Holy Spirit brings it out and just puts the whole word together and makes the picture there to show you the hour that we're living. We're changing dispensations. We're turning a corner. And the Holy Spirit had to go, and he didn't even know where to go, but only the Holy Spirit could take this and show us in here what corners turned and what direction had to be changed. Hey, come on, you guys. Who was there? What did they hear? Did they have a mindset about what the rapture was? And do you think by the end of that meeting, how many changed that, what that mindset and the Holy Spirit broke into them to see, to hear anything different? It's easy when somebody turns or a brick mason, everybody starts laying the bricks right down the same row, like a certain denomination starts rolling down the row. So what is he talking about? A word that's being preached about the rapture and how they can perceive what that is. All right, but when it comes to them turns where you have to turn back the other way, now God isn't building a wall, he's building a house, and there's many cuts and turns that he's predicted here in the Bible. Come on, we got to turn. People don't like to turn corners, do they? They don't. They don't like to be corrected, do they? And the turns, and anybody could just make a turn, but it must be according to the blueprint. If it isn't, it'll be torn down. Scare you a little bit? No wonder he was losing his popularity, huh? No wonder he went from hundreds of thousands to tens of thousands to hundreds to trailer parks. Yeah. Number three, the rapture is totally dependent on epignosko. There has to be a relationship with him who is the light of the hour, him who is revealing himself, him who opens this, that will continue to open this in my heart and make it live in me. So here, number three, epignosko, you will think this to be strange because it doesn't fit with your thinking. So he brings out and he says, here's where I'm starting. I'm going to the book of Psalms. Now I want to speak on a real strange subject tonight. Russ, if you went to all of your charismatic people out there and into your meetings and say, I want to speak on something strange, I want to speak on the rapture, what would they say to you? And they would say, why are you using that word strange? There's nothing strange about it. True or not true? So when the prophet of God comes and he says, I'm speaking on something very strange, it's going to be very strange what he brings because it isn't going to... Psalm 27. And you would read this and you would say, what in the world does that have to do with the rapture? That's totally unrelated. That isn't what anybody else in the world would pick out for their rapture text. But God did. Started out, the Lord is my... And what's the next words? My what? How much of a salvation? Redemption, bringing us back. Now, then he chooses his next, which is even more strange, because Satan will come and he says, the Lord is my light. What is light? Manifested word. There has to be somebody here manifesting something that's the word of God, right? Isn't that Psalm 27? The Lord is my light. He's my salvation. He's going to set me in the time of what? In the time of what? He shall set me upon a... Isn't that what he's doing? Come on, is that what he is doing? Then you're part of it. Hide in a hidden place. He will hide you in his pavilion away from the eyes of the world. You're locked in with Christ in a secret place. Satan will come along and say, no, that's not there. Psalm 27 has nothing to do with the rapture. The Lord is not my, you know, what are you talking about? The Lord is my light. We believe in Jesus. Yeah. So he brings in his second to counter the people who will say, there's nothing here to know experientially. Hebrews chapter 3. They don't hold fast their rejoicing and their confidence in Jesus Christ firm to the end, so they went and made their own. Who needs him? Look at, we got a pope, we got bishops, we got a cathedral. Oh, who can deny the beauty of all of this? Doesn't this make you feel good walking into this gorgeous, awestruck place, huh? Who wouldn't feel good walking in there? Wouldn't you feel a little bit elevated? Wouldn't you feel a little bit lifted up into heavenly places? Oh, look at this. And he's not there. So his second text, of course, is 2 Peter 3. Mockers will come and say, where is this coming? He's not here. There's nothing new. Everything is the same. And to them it is. Come on, is it or isn't it? But to those who have heard the voice from heaven, nothing's the same. Everything is different now. I'm hearing from heaven in this whole world. Everything is different and everything has changed and my life is different. But how do you explain that to anybody? You can't. Only he can. And only he does. So just a couple more quotes here. 2 Peter 3:3-4 is that. And then from back into the message of the rapture. And today our last great reformation was Pentecost. And today we're moving from that because the Pentecostal message won't mix with this. Totally different. It's another day. So this is not Pentecostal. This is not about the restoration of the gifts. This is something totally different. This is, he is here and he wants to speak from heaven to draw you into him and build a body into another place. Remember what I said? What if one of the greatest miracles, what if the wonderful, most spiritual thing that can happen is not speaking in tongues, not prophesying? What if the most spiritual thing is something happening in another dimension right now where a body is being formed around a word that is inside you? Who is that happening to? Oh, so few. Huh? Well, we don't see that. You can't. I don't even see it. But I feel it and I know what's going on. True or not true? Pentecostal message won't mix with this. It's another day. It's all the Word of God. But it's like building, like feet, arms coming up to form the bride for the rapture. There it is. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation. That's always blew my mind. I never knew that until I read it. Did you know that before you read it? Huh? It's all the Word of God and it's building. Yeah. That revelation, the true bride of Christ will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. I wasn't. Didn't know anything about it. Till I read that and I said, here I am. I am waiting for the revelation. And for 25, 35, 45 years, whatever it's been, I've been waiting. And now it's coming. It's all coming together. Because we're listening to the voice of him that speaks from heaven. So John 16, Isaiah 28, 2 Peter 1, and Hebrews 3 are all fulfilled in these, what has gone on right here. I will guide you into all truth, and I will show you things to come. And it will be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, with stammering lips. But those who have ears to hear will hear it. And those that have eyes to see will see it. And I'll do the greatest work, the most mysterious work that's ever been done since the beginning of the world. Nothing has ever been done like this since Genesis, right or wrong? Huh? 2 Corinthians 5 is being fulfilled in you. For he that works the selfsame thing in you is Christ, that being clothed upon, we won't be found naked. Our home. Then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. Man, I love that statement. That's the rapture. It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. And we're living in that day, praise be to God, of the revelation of the mystery of himself. That's it in a nutshell. Amen. There's Gnosko. There's 2 Peter 1. There's Hebrews chapter 3. There's all of these verses. Do you see them all flow together, Chris? Huh? They're all going like this, aren't they? Yeah. And a picture is being formed and say, I'm a participator in Christ. That's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, I believe. We become participators in Christ. He's taking us and he's moving us. Deacon servers, would you come? Let's get ready for communion. Oh, we have so much to thank him for.
Amen.
Do you know that you could not, except for the blood of Jesus, be partaking of these things? Mm-hmm. Really, brothers and sisters? Think of this. Do you have your Bibles there? Go to Romans chapter 7, just one verse there. It's precious how good our Lord Jesus is. No greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brethren, and he did. And now because of this, we were in a condition. We were in a place, and we tried on our own, and we couldn't do it, and we got frustrated. So with enough of the Spirit working, as okay, get up and try again, and you can't do it. So there has to be a separation, and there has to be a complete divorcement between you and your abilities, between you and human ability of any kind, and that is represented in the law. The law was you do, and you're condemned if you don't do it all. And nobody, everybody was condemned because nobody could do it. True or not true? Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, verse 4, you also are become dead to the law by the what? Jesus. He divorced so that I could be married to him. And now that invisible union, now I could be married to Jesus who does everything for me. But I have to be divorced from the law of my own ability and my own doings and my own achievements and my own spirituality and my own everything. And that was done by the body of Jesus Christ. So when we're partaking tonight, thank him. It's not me. I can't. And he will say to you, I know you can't, but I took care of it for you. Would you just love me? Would you just believe me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So then in 1 Corinthians 10, a couple verses, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? Is not this that we're drinking from? Said, oh, there's a voice from heaven, and I've heard it. It's the communion of the blood of Jesus, the communion of the token, the communion of the word of God. And I've received it into me so it can build that body now. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? There's communion and fellowship with our Lord. Oh, blessed be his name. For I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, what a man, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This too, in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I'm going to write my word in your heart and in your minds. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged or chastened of the Lord, thank you, Jesus, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, before we partake, when we're done, please go back to your seats with this, and then we'll read a scripture before we exit to do foot washing. But just stay here back in your seats after you partake of these elements, please. And then we'll all go together. Brother Greg, would you ask a blessing? Brother Derek, would you ask a blessing?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together. We can fellowship, partake of this memorial of you. And as we partake, may we truly partake not just in the symbol, but in the reality that we can be one body with you, one blood with you, that we can be there on the cross with you.
Thank you,
and that
Jesus.
Your blood, your body, your sacrifice can speak for us in heavenly places. We thank you for it and ask you to bless this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Gracious Lord, we are indeed humbled. Sufficient are we, O God, in every sense, Lord. As Brother Don was sharing, O God, that thou hast made us worthy through thy blood, the blood that you have shed, and you bid whosoever come, and you have freely given, O God, and all who would come you would in no wise cast out. So great are your promises to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word breaking to us these latter days, O God, to see the things that we see, Lord, which you by your grace have opened up our eyes to know even now that change is happening upon us, that this blood that was shed, represented by this wine, showing, Lord, the life that you've poured into your church, that it wouldn't be just individuals, but it would be you in individuals doing your work and your bidding. So, Lord, we just humbly pray that you would bless all who partake, bless this wine, representing the blood that was shed and the spirit that was given. We ask that you would do this. We ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, as we partake of this, okay, this is a symbol of what is going on in you now that could have only happened when he, the sinless, spotless Lamb, no greater love, laid down his life. So this communion, this fellowship, hearing the voice from heaven, building a body inside, around that word inside of you, that miracle is taking place because of this and through this. Let's come and partake. Where did we start from here? Or there?